You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Stat Hero. Stat Hero is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, that's LOCKEDON, for 300% back on your first play where you, the player, have the advantage. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most. Welcome back on Thursday, June 10th. I am recording during the game today, so I am like watching it and also talking to you guys today, as I hope you're all having a fabulous Thursday. And on today's podcast, as I'm watching today's game against the Dodgers, where the Pirates currently trail 4-3 at the time of recording here in the top of the fourth inning, I've noticed something interesting about Jacob Stallings. And Mitch Keller was on the mound today. He didn't have his greatest start, one of those bad starts that you throw in there for him once again, being in part of that third inning, the big third inning the Dodgers had for against him, that then led to Chris Stratton coming in and closing the door. But one thing I noticed now with Jacob Stallings, of course, a great defensive catcher. He's always up there for Gold Glove of the Year at that position. He's been doing good with the bat this year, too. Some walk-off hits every once in a while. Some big doubles, some big singles for the Cheetah. We love calling him the Cheetah here in Pittsburgh. If you're a new listener, of course, Jacob Stallings, not the fastest guy in the world, but they jokingly call him the Cheetah. It's one of the better nicknames, I think, that you could give the guy. And one thing I noticed about him is if you just watch any Pirates game, just watch Jacob Stallings whenever he gives the pitcher, especially he does this a lot with Mitch Keller, but whenever he gives his pitcher a location and a pitch, it's very interesting to see how he operates with it, because you can really tell when Jacob Stallings knows when the pitch was wrong. Like, even if it's a strike, he kind of just shakes his head or he's like, "What are you doing?" And it's really a measuring stick to if Mitch Keller's having a good pitching day or if he's not. We're seeing it with Chris Stratton. We see it with almost everyone that goes on the mound for the Pirates. I mean, almost every time that a pitch is missed, he lets you know you missed it. And that's a good thing for a guy like Mitch Keller, who's still pretty young, is if his catcher is giving him feedback saying, "Hey, man, I need you to hit the bottom left corner instead of the like top right corner," which seems to happen a lot with Keller. One thing I noticed, especially in the start today, is the command on his fastball sometimes is perfect, but when it's perfect, it's usually right down the middle for a guy like Mookie Betts, who took it right out of the ballpark in the first AB of the game, three pitches in. Then you look at it, and it's like, when Keller's on, he's on. His command, when he actually has it, is very, very good. And it's a really nice thing to see for him because of the idea that for Keller, if he can just have that command on a daily basis, it would be great. But you're also getting feedback from your catcher every single pitch. One thing I'll notice is Stallings will try to tell him to go down and away, and the ball somehow still ends up in the top of the zone. But if he's good enough with it, sometimes when the ball does go in the top of the zone, it's not going to get hit that much. Keller's a very solid pitcher when it comes to throwing in the top of the zone, as we look at like some stuff here for his charts and all that, pitching-wise, on one of my favorite websites, of course, as we used yesterday for visuals and advanced metrics, baseballsavant.mlb.com. And you look at where he's at in terms of selecting the zone, what he likes to do, all that good stuff. And, you know, Jacob Stallings, of course, is a pitcher. I mean, he knows what, like, he wants to see. And, I mean, the movement, the spin rates on his fastball have been really good. There's a good movement in his pitch as well. But, again, when you're getting feedback from Jacob Stallings saying, "Hey, bro, like, you're not really doing too much here with like what's going on," realistically, his curveball, he's actually been using pretty well. And the thing is, too, is let's look at his velocity and his average exit velocity and all that stuff in percentiles. He's in the 8th percentile of hard hit balls, which is not good. He's in the 61st percentile in max exit velocity, 62nd percentile in fastball spin, and 67th in fastball velocity, and 70 in curve spin. So he's a very solid player here, but I mean, you also have to look at where Keller really struggles, and it's his singles. He just doesn't sometimes have the command on the fastball that he needs to have. And it's like, again, let's go look at his swing percentage by zone, of course. And you look at, let's see, the pitch percentage, and he's like blue almost everywhere except in the bottom right corner. The bottom right corner is like where he works perfectly. And if you watch Jacob Stallings talk to him and look at him and be like, I want you to hit this right corner, it's because he gets such good miss and whiff rates on it. In the top left corner and the bottom right corner, he has a 46% whiff rate, 31% in the top right, and 22% in the bottom left. But everything else, like pretty much in the general strike zone, like in the middle of the zone, is all pretty much 15 and lower except the top right, which is 23%. So the thing is with Keller and Stallings doesn't just do this with Keller. He does it with Brubaker. He does it with Tyler Anderson. He did it with Chase DeJong. He did it with Miguel Yajure. He does it with Will Crow. He does it with the bullpen. And it's a great measuring stick to see if the pitcher is actually pitching what he wants to throw. And a lot of the time, Stallings is right. Why is he right most of the time? Because he's a damn good catcher who knows how to play damn good defense. He knows what hitters like to see, like a Mookie Betts. He knows, one, if you throw a 93-mile-per-hour fastball right down the middle to Mookie Betts, he's likely going to hit it out of the stadium, or he's going to hit it somewhere that's going to result in an extra base hit. And is this something Keller's going to ever fix? I don't know. It seems like a completely different thing all the time for him. We are going to go ahead and do some stuff later in the episode, or maybe we'll see, but I'm kind of just going over a bunch of different stuff today on the podcast. But now I would say is a good time to let you know that, again, this episode of course is brought to you by Stat Hero. Of course is the first daily fantasy sports book that gives you the player the advantage. Go to StatHero.com/LockedOn for 300% back on your first play, meaning they're going to basically give you some free money for having fun, and you get the advantage on all of your plays on Stat Hero. Today's episode is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, of course, has all the parts your car will ever need, and they don't price gauge like the bigger markets. You can do all the shopping yourself from your phone, your tablet, your computer, and the best part, you don't have to watch someone from behind the counter do it for you that doesn't really know what they're doing in the first place. Make sure when you go to RockAuto.com in the feedback section that you let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And welcome back to Locked On Pirates, everyone. And as, of course, I am recording while the Dodgers and the Pittsburgh Pirates are taking on each other in the final game of the series here between the two teams. Dodgers currently up 4-3 at the time of recording. And, you know, we look at the NL West, for example, and it brings up the age-old adage of, does MLB need to redo their playoff format? I like the playoff format from last year. It was very fun. Of course, it was in a shortened season, so a lot of things went awry, and a lot of people were kind of like, okay, we need to see more teams here. But let's look at the regular season for right now, and it's June 10th, obviously. And right now, there's two divisions right now, but especially the NL West has the potential to be probably the one division in baseball where we see three playoff teams. Currently, San Francisco leads that division. They've been the surprise team of baseball with an 18-9 home record and a 38-23 record. The Dodgers, of course, who the Pirates are playing today, are 36-25 and 2 games back and would be a wild card team. San Diego, as of right now, would actually, I believe, be the second wild card team. As Pittsburgh Pirates fans, what does that sound familiar to? 2015. The 2015 NL Central was an absolute slugfest between the St. Louis Cardinals, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Chicago Cubs. If you don't remember, which I know as Pirates fans you probably do, the Cardinals won 100 games that year, The Pirates were two games behind them with 98 wins and 64 losses. Meanwhile, the Cubs were behind the Pirates by a game at 97 and 65. Those three teams were arguably the three best teams in baseball that year. Meanwhile, the Pirates and the Cubs had to play each other in a wild card game. Even if the Pirates won that game, I'd still be mad about it. Just because 98 wins when every other division was pretty much winnable for the Pirates that year was just not good. Like, it's you should not be playing in a wild card game with 98 wins. The Cubs, meanwhile, had 97. I looked at it the same way. The Cubs really should not have been playing a wild card game. But because of the format of the wild card playoffs that the MLB has, the Pirates and the Cubs played each other. The Cubs eliminated the Pirates, and then the Cardinals eliminated Cardinals and Cubs played, and that left one team left in the NLCS, and it basically eliminated two of the three best teams in baseball like that. I understand it's the playoffs, but it happened. Does it have the potential to happen again here with the San Francisco Giants, the Dodgers, and San Diego? I said earlier this year that I expected the Dodgers to win the division, San Diego to go to the wild card game against the New York Mets and win that wild card game, but then that means we only get a five-game series between San Diego and the Dodgers in the NLDS, and one of those two teams is gone. That's not like exactly a recipe for the NLCS to be that all enticing to me, just right now. Like, if the Giants win it, it's a different story, because I think they're like any series with them in the playoffs would be much more competitive. But say the Dodgers in San Diego, for example, as I predicted before the season started, do the same thing. The Dodgers win the division and let's say San Francisco and San Diego play each other in the wild card game around 95, 96 wins. One of those teams is gone. Then you look at the NL Central for the Pirates, and I mean, right now, the Cubs have a 35-27 record, which would place them fourth in the NL West. The Brewers, 34-27, fourth in the NL West. Then you look at the NL East, the Mets are 30-24, but they also haven't played three games because of the stuff that happened at the beginning of the year. So let's say you add two wins to that total, they're still third or fourth in the NL West. So what's going to end up happening is, from what it looks like, is the Dodgers or the Padres more than likely will beat one another in the NLCS, and then they're going to be playing the winner of possibly Cubs and Mets. That's, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's not a bad series for any stretch of the margin, but it's going to be the same situation in 2015 that the NL Central was in. It's going to be, you have a bunch of good teams in baseball that are going to get knocked out by each other in the first two rounds of the playoffs, rather than having two of those teams play each other in the NLCS. Now, last year was a different story, and we saw that because the Braves and the Dodgers, to me, were the two best teams in the National League. They were obviously not in the same division, and they got to play each other in the NLCS. Braves were up 3-1. Dodgers came back and won 3 straight in what was probably the funnest series of the postseason. It can't happen, though, with this format now. I've said this, and I've always stuck by it, is I want Major League Baseball to go back to how the NFL, or I don't want baseball to go back to it, but I want MLB to go back how the NFL used to do their playoffs, where they would have 6 playoff teams. The top 2 teams would get a basically first round bye, and then you'd have those 4 teams. So the third division winner would play the lowest wildcard team, and then the top wildcard teams, so in this scenario, I like to give this scenario out. So in this scenario, if the season ended today, the Giants and technically the Mets would get the first round bye, so they would not have to play first. So the Cubs, who would be the third division winner, would likely play, it looks like, Milwaukee. Yes, so the Cubs would play Milwaukee. It could be a wild card game if you still want it to be, or make it a 3-game series. I like the idea of the 3-game series a little more. And then San Diego would play the Dodgers if the season ended today. Now, what does that eliminate? Of course, San Diego and the Dodgers play each other, which is still kind of the same issue. But if whoever wins doesn't have to go play that other team or that top team, unless the top division winner wins. But what that also eliminates is more parity, because less teams are going to tank if there's an extra playoff team. So I think the NL West has the potential to be like this. I do think most people are waiting for the inevitable drop-off for the San Francisco Giants. Does it happen? I'm not really sure. The NL Central also has a potential to do this if the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Cubs all kind of just jump, like, way into the multiverse and just, like, start winning, like, 10 games in a row when they don't play each other. Like, if they start beating up on the Pirates. And even Cincinnati's still creeping around right now at 29-30. But, I mean, I just want baseball to redo their playoffs just so we can avoid this situation. It's just going to be unfortunate come October when one of San Diego or the Dodgers, who are two of the best teams in baseball, are just out of the playoffs before the last round of the National League playoffs. It's just unfortunate, but it's going to happen, and that's the unfortunate part about it. But if you want to bet on this kind of stuff, make sure you go to betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, of course, has all the sports you need, and they are the only place that has you covered and the only place we trust here at the Locked On Podcast Network. If you go to betonline.ag and bet on Major League Baseball, the NBA or NHL playoffs, MMA, UFC, reality TV, or award shows, make sure you use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus, meaning they will give you free money for putting money into your account when you go to betonline.ag. All right, everyone, and welcome back once again to Locked On Pirates. And, you know, the Pirates, of course, are in the midst of this game against the Dodgers, still 4-3 at the current moment, but they do have a fun matchup starting tomorrow once again against a team they've already beat in a series this year in the Milwaukee Brewers, who are currently in a 1-1 tie in a rain delay against the Cincinnati Reds. But Milwaukee's play over the last couple of weeks has kind of catapulted them back up to the NL Central top of the division in a way. They are only, I believe, a game and a half back of the Chicago Cubs, as I mentioned before. But here's the thing with the Brewers. Their pitching has been absolutely great. You look at where they're sitting at the moment. Their pitching has just been phenomenal. Their ERA is really low. Their bullpen, much like the Pirates, has just been stellar with Devin Williams and, of course, Josh Hader leading the way. But, I mean, you look at where they were before this loss to the Reds yesterday. They won 5 games in a row, 4 against the Diamondbacks, 1 against the Reds. And then they had a loss against the Tigers in there as well. But before that, they won 5 straight. So, I mean, they've been putting together a lot of wins. But they had an injury happen yesterday to them with Travis Shaw, which has further pretty much exposed the fact that their corner infielders have been their biggest weakness in terms of production on the field, in terms of defense and offense. So if you're the Pirates, of course, going into that series again, I mean, as we see Shashaun Shreve end the top of the fifth here, a lot of what the Pirates have been doing lately, especially with Hayes coming back, is they've been getting good pop from that beginning of the lineup. And for a Brewers team that exactly hasn't been scoring too many runs, like they're not the greatest offense in the world, when your team has been doing very solid in terms of bullpen production, as we're seeing right now against this Dodgers team, who also has been struggling on offense, it's really good to have a bullpen like that, because if the Pirates can get some pop from Frazier, Hayes, and Reynolds immediately, and it appears that Colin Moran is going to mostly be okay, you're going to be in a good spot, because what's going to happen is if you get a couple runs in there and the Brewers don't answer, and then the bullpen comes out, it's just going to be a battle of very solid bullpens. And as of right now, I would trust Frazier, Hayes, and Reynolds over the Brewers' offense. Christian Yelich, I don't know if he's ever going to get it back because of the back injury. He has to take days off every once in a while because of it. He has definitely seen a noticeable decline from that NL MVP season that he had. And it's just unfortunate for him as well. And it's unfortunate for the Brewers' offense. But, I mean, again, the Pirates have a knack, especially here against the Dodgers. They've been competitive in almost all of these games. The main difference, of course, has been the offense. But the Brewers, for example, in the last series they played, the Pirates pitched very well in that series, as well as the Brewers did also. But we look at the pitching matchups going into this, and the pitching matchups are very interesting here for Pittsburgh, as I scroll down here on the schedules. We're very deep into the season now. It looks like we're going to get Chase DeYoung and Brandon Woodruff, Chad Kuhl and Corbin Burns, and JT Brubaker and Adrian Hauser. I like that. That sounds very fun. And also, the fun part about that, too, is all of those players there have really the stuff to make sure that teams don't score that often in the first couple innings, which is a good thing to see. And, you know, I'm very excited for that series. Again, we scroll back up to the last time these two teams played. They've only played once so far this year. The Pirates won 6-1 in a JT Brubaker start against Adrian Hauser. They then lost 7-1 the following day in a Tyler Anderson start, or a Brett Anderson start, and a Trevor Cahill loss. And then, of course, we had that really fun game where the Pirates moved to 7-9 early in April with a 6-5 tenth inning win, which saw Richard Rodriguez get the win and the save in that scenario. And that was really when the Pirates kind of took like a turning point in April, because then they won 2-3 against Detroit, 2-3 against Minnesota, 1-2 against the Royals, to where they were 12-11. And then we saw that St. Louis series kind of put them back down to earth. But I think this will be a fun series between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh, of course. They're being competitive here right now against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if you want to talk to me about the Los Angeles Dodgers and Pirates game on Twitter, make sure you follow me on Twitter at LockedOnPirates or on my personal Twitter at MVP_Ethan. Of course, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And also, I hope you come back tomorrow on Friday, June 11th, as we talk about everything going on in the world of Pittsburgh baseball. And I'll see you on the flip side.